Hi, my name is Christina Phillips. I'm a producer for The Exchange at New Hampshire Public Radio. And this is a great program, I think, for people who think they know everything about the state and people who don't know anything about the state. I feel like every week we talk about topics that you may know a lot about, or you might learn something completely new, but every time you're getting to hear from experts, people who care a lot about these issues, people who maybe have not gotten to have their voice on the radio before. It's a great way to learn a lot of things about what makes our state tick and what's important to people around the state. And so if you use this service, if you subscribe to the podcast and you think it's an important part of your life, you should definitely try to support that, whether it's $5, $10, or even $20. Giving is really easy to do. You just go to nhpr.org, or you can follow the link right there in the show notes. And thanks.
Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. It's our Race for the First series. With a wide open seat, there are many candidates running for New Hampshire's first congressional district this year, and we've been introducing you to them. We'd like your questions for the candidates. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org, or use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Our phone number, you can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. You can also watch our interview on Facebook Live. Our candidate today is Democrat Naomi Andrews. Over the past decade, she's worked as Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter's chief of staff and on her campaigns. And Ms. Andrews, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Happy summer.
Well, and I want to start off the way I've started off with all the candidates in this race, especially on the Democratic side. There are lots of candidates. I think 9 at last count. Why should First District voters choose you?
I have been working for the people of New Hampshire for over a decade as Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter's chief of staff and campaign manager for 2 of her winning campaigns. And I love working for and fighting for the people of New Hampshire's First District. I'm also proud and honored to have received Carol's endorsement to win this seat. I know these issues. I've been living and breathing them. And I can hit the ground running on day one. I'll have no learning curve. I'll have an experienced team in place. And I have the personal relationships with both the people here in New Hampshire, in every town and community in the district, as well as the people in Washington, in Congress, on both sides of the aisle, to really hit the ground running on day one to serve the people of this district that I love so much. I grew up right down the road in Epping, graduated from the public school system, went on to be a first-generation college graduate. I really know and love this district. My dad, my brother, and I, we've hiked all 48 4,000-footers.
Oh, wow.
And so I know the district both from my work in the congressional office and just my love of taking advantage of all New Hampshire has to offer.
From down below and up above, you could say. And you've worked closely with the current Congresswoman, Carol Shea Porter, as you said. How much do you see yourself, Ms. Andrews, continuing with the Congresswoman's policies, and how might you be different?
I feel so fortunate to have found someone who shares my passions and values. And she's just an incredible person, and I share her love for the people of this district. Kind of an anomaly on the Hill. I've worked for the same member for all 11 years. Some Hill staffers will go from member to member, but it just shows that my heart has been with this district and with Carol this entire time, and I feel really fortunate because of that.
What did you do during the off years? I mean, there were times over that decade or so period that Republican Frank Ginta held the seat.
I managed her comeback winning campaigns.
When I talked about the congresswoman who you worked with for so long, I asked you how you saw yourself as different from Ms. Shea Porter. How are you different in terms of politics or policy?
You know, we share the same passion and values, but I'd say our differences, we're at different phases in our lives. She's at this point of taking a pause. Who knows what the future will bring, but she has her first grandchild, spending time with her family. I'm in a different phase in my life. I'm engaged, and I still have student loan payments that I'm paying down. So that's kind of where the differences are, but I feel really fortunate to have worked for someone who's policy and politics we share.
So in terms of taxes, immigration, you know, all the sort of hot button issues, you're in line with Ms. Shea Porter.
I'm really fortunate that we are.
Last year, Congresswoman Shea Porter sponsored impeachment articles against President Trump. I wonder, Ms. Andrews, if you got to Congress, would you sign on to a similar effort to bring impeachment articles against the president?
If I were in Congress right now, I would do the exact same thing. I would sign on to these articles of impeachment. However, understanding they're not going anywhere. Speaker Ryan is in charge. He determines what comes to the House floor. And so right now, it's not a reality that those articles are going anywhere. Right now, we need to focus on protecting the Mueller investigation. Now, should Democrats win the House, which I'm cautiously optimistic we will, then a different conversation could take place at that point in time.
House Democratic leaders, after Congressman Shea Porter and others signed on to these articles, they took the unusual step of putting out a statement opposing the impeachment resolution, urging members to wait until Robert Mueller and Congress finish their various investigations. So what do you think about that, Ms. Andrews? Even House Democratic leaders are saying, whoa, too fast, too soon.
The strategy really had to be to protect that Mueller investigation because they knew that there was no way that the Republican leadership under Speaker Ryan was going anywhere with these articles. And we knew that the president day in and day out has threatened the Mueller investigation. So the priority has to be to protect that investigation and let it play out.
Does this effort, which Republican leaders have called a baseless radical effort, does it possibly come back to bite the Democratic candidates in the fall? Republicans have used it as a rallying cry, saying, look at these Democrats, they're crazy.
No, it does not. It does not. I think that there's a lot of frustration with the current administration. I believe that they're wreaking havoc, and I think that a lot of people see Congress has really abdicated their constitutional duty of oversight. I think what we're seeing with the children at the borders this week has really brought attention to that. So no, I do not believe it will harm Democrats.
Let's invite our listeners to our conversation. Ms. Andrews, our number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. So since you mentioned immigration, let's talk about that. Very much in the news because of the policy of separating children from their parents who cross the border illegally. More broadly, though, Ms. Andrews, you know, since you were working for a member of Congress, immigration has just seemed insurmountable. You know, it seems like we're close to some sort of agreement that everybody can live with, and then something falls apart. Is bipartisanship possible on immigration? And if so, where do you see it?
I hope so. I mean, let's go back over this week. It's been really upsetting to have just the lies that came across saying that this policy was on Congress, and now it's been very clear that this was the policy of the administration. Chief of Staff John Kelly said this policy was meant to be punitive and a deterrent. I don't think U.S. policy should ever be punishing innocent children. And let's also recall that the president said that these children are not innocent. I've yet to meet a child that's not innocent.
So where do you find bipartisanship? Let's say you get elected. Let's say you go to Congress. Let's say you really want to solve this issue, which has been debated seemingly forever, but especially in the last 10 years. Where would you find bipartisanship?
Earlier this year on Valentine's Day, there was this third-party entity that did an analysis of all the members of Congress to look at how many bills they co-sponsored in a bipartisan way. Our office came out on top. And so those relationships I have with those Republican members of Congress myself, and so I will continue those relationships, building them, working to find common ground wherever we can.
Got a note here from Katie in Durham. She says, can you ask candidate Andrews where she stands on abolishing ICE? That's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Katie says this issue seems to be a growing differentiator in other races. Cynthia Nixon in New York is the latest to come out in favor of abolishing the agency, as has, Katie says, Lincoln Soldati. I don't think I asked Mr. Soldati that when he was on this program, but go ahead. What do you think about abolishing ICE?
You know, the current administration is abusing this so severely that that needs to be on the table, that we need to have Congress discuss all of the options, because we can't have this organization that's locking children in cages, separating them from their families. This executive order yesterday, it does nothing to do it does nothing to help the children that are currently separated from their families, and we don't know what's going to happen to them.
So are you open to the idea of abolishing ICE?
I believe Congress needs to have a conversation about all options at this point in time. I mean, we need to have a robust immigration system. You know, we need to have pathways to citizenship. We need to protect people that come to this country seeking asylum. Our office worked really hard with a lot of the refugees who came to this country seeking religious asylum. So we need to have a process in place.
Well, let's talk about guns, Ms. Andrews. That's been a big issue, especially for Democrats in the race this year. And we could talk for many hours about this. So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. You say that you'll fight for what Democrats are calling common sense proposals, including background checks on all gun purchases except for gifts between immediate family members. Do I have your policy right there?
You do. I mean, if you went to the airport today and they said to everyone in the room, only one out of the four of you need to go through security, you would probably feel that that's not fair. And that's currently how our background system works. It does not cover everyone. We need to make it more comprehensive.
So all gun purchases except for gifts between immediate family members. As you know, some mass shooters have gained access to guns from family members, including the teenager who murdered 8 students and 2 teachers at a Texas high school in May. He reportedly used a gun that belonged to his father. So, you know, family members, I don't know if that exactly covers it.
Oh, I know. Santa Fe broke my heart. Do you recall one of the students said that she wasn't surprised that that happened at her school? Listen, we're not going to fix the problem overnight. We're not going to prevent all mass shootings from happening in the future, but we need to do something. And we know that there are steps that can be taken to curb the atrocities.
Some Democrats in this race for the 1st District also favor a national version of red flag laws now being passed in some states. These, as I'm sure you know, allow law enforcement and or the courts to take guns away from people deemed dangerous to themselves or to others. How do you feel about that, a national red flag law?
I will immediately join the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force in Congress, and we need to come together and put all common sense gun safety reform legislation that's possible on the table. That would certainly be one of them. Also, limiting magazine capacity. I have a lot of friends that are hunters, and they say if I'm out in the woods and I can't shoot a deer with 10 rounds, I probably shouldn't be out in the woods.
So we've heard about red flag laws in other states, and we've talked about them for this state. And we've heard from a lot of gun owners, Ms. Andrews, who say, look, there's a lot of room for abuse within these red flag laws. You know, who gets to come to the court and say Naomi Andrews isn't capable of having a gun? People could abuse the system. People could make false accusations. There's a lot of worry about these going overboard, and I wonder what you think.
We would need to bring people together to talk about best practices and ways to limit abuse of the system. Well, at the same time, so you want to protect the Second Amendment, you want to protect hunters' rights to go out to hunt, but you also want to protect our children, and we want to allow people to feel safe to go to school, and that's not the situation right now.
How would you bring people together on guns? Boy, that seems like an issue that's really hard to bring people together on.
Is it? I think we just bring all people who have a voice in the matter to the table. We bring law enforcement, we bring hunters, and our office has a long tradition of bringing people together and having roundtables and discussing best practices, and I would continue that.
I want to ask you about opioids. As you know, New Hampshire is in the midst of a terrible opioid crisis, one of the top states in terms of overdose deaths. But the state did just get a big infusion of federal money to fight the opioid crisis. How do you think, Ms. Andrews, that money should be spent?
There's three areas: prevention, treatment, and recovery. We know that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution to this issue. We know that we need an all-hands-on-deck approach. There's not a day that goes by that I don't meet someone impacted by this crisis. 485 deaths in 2016, 485 deaths in 2017. A story that stuck with me, our New Hampshire State Medical Examiner quitting last year. He was done. He couldn't handle it anymore. He couldn't come to work every day and see all these lives cut short. New Hampshire's really been overwhelmed. All of these great recovery and treatment centers, they've been dealing with this like a fire hose is coming at them. And so we need to get all the people in the room, best practices, get that money out to the prevention, treatment, and recovery.
So this has been going on for a while. Why do you suppose we're not doing that now?
There's not been the recovery treatment centers in New Hampshire have been doing the best that they can, but the funding hasn't been there at the federal level. I'm very glad to see that federal funding is coming, but there needs to be more.
Well, there's been some issue about how some centers have spent their money. A couple treatment facilities have had financial problems. A couple have even closed. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that this new money coming in is well spent, given that we've seen some facilities struggle?
Those treatment centers were overwhelmed. And like I said, it was like coming at them front with a fire hose, all the people that were coming in through the doors. And so we need to make sure they have the resources in place to handle the volume that, unfortunately, we have in New Hampshire.
So is it Congress's responsibility to keep an eye on how its money is being spent? Or who should be saying, I mean, everybody understands they're overwhelmed, but right. Who's going to keep track of how the money is being spent so that they don't end up shutting their doors and leaving people in the cold?
It needs to be a partnership between the state and the federal government.
How do you see different areas of your district, Ms. Andrews, dealing with this issue? How does the opioid challenge vary from region to region?
You know, it knows no geographic boundaries. That we know that it's everywhere and that it impacts families from all different socioeconomic backgrounds. And so we need to have the resources in place all throughout the district.
Do you see Manchester facing a different situation than, you know, the Lakes region? Or I just wonder what differences you see in different parts of the district.
We're just seeing that this is an issue all across the state, unfortunately.
I want to ask you about veterans, pivoting quickly, because this has been a big issue for your district. You've called for a full-service veterans hospital here in New Hampshire. That's been a goal for many political leaders here in the state for a long time. How would you achieve it?
It will continue to be a goal of ours. It's absurd. We're not the smallest state, but yet we're the only state without a full-service VA hospital. And so I will introduce legislation on day one. But we've had some successes over the years to get more treatment accessible to our veterans, and they deserve that. We have over 100,000 veterans here in New Hampshire. And so our office helped get a community-based outpatient center in Conway. And we've done a lot of work to make treatment to veterans accessible, but I'll continue that work.
So is a full-service hospital really the goal? Or given the rural nature of our state and lack of public transportation, you know, a recent task force said rather than rebuild the whole medical center, how about just a greater range of services by establishing partnerships with private providers? I mean, I wonder if, you know, even if you have this gorgeous, fabulous full-service hospital in Manchester, how does that help the veteran in Berlin?
We need both, because the person in Conway should not be expected to drive down to Manchester three times a week. And so that's why we did have the funding for the CBOC, and we have the partnerships in place. And that's really crucial to our veterans. However, I still think that the veterans of the state deserve a full-service VA hospital.
So last question for you, Ms. Andrews. As I said, lots of Democrats are in this race for the 1st Congressional District. Why should 1st District Democrats pick you over the others?
The experience. I am cautiously optimistic that Dems will take over the majority in this year. I was there in 2006 when we took over the majority for the first time in 12 years. It was an aggressive legislative agenda. It was a lot. In January 2019, we need an even more aggressive legislative agenda. So have someone there who can hit the ground running on day one will greatly benefit the people of New Hampshire.
Well, Naomi Andrews, thank you very much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Laura.
That's Naomi Andrews. Again, she's a Democrat running in the 1st Congressional District. And our Race for the 1st series continues on Monday with Republican Eddie Edwards. You can check out the whole series on our website, nhpr.org. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.